Happy to be joined now by Patrick Saunders, Rockies beat writer for the Denver Post. Patrick, thanks so much for this. This Rockies team is an interesting one to me because you look at the offense, and certainly, yeah, it's, you play for the Rockies, the offense is going to get the majority of the headlines, but there's some real significant offensive players there in Nolan Arenado and Cargo and of course, Trevor Story. Like, are they really just looking at improving that starting rotation before they make the next step in that development? Do they believe that the core of a good offensive ball club is already there in Colorado?
Yeah, I do. I do think that. And, most of the guys outside of Cargo, who's not old, but most of the guys are young in their prime and getting better. And you know what? They play good defense, too. So for the most part, there's a pretty solid core there. But, you know, that's been the history of this franchise for so long. Good, productive offensive players, struggles to find starting pitching, and just as important, I think, in this day and age, a bullpen that can do the job. The Rockies think they're on the right track with the bullpen, but once again, it's starting pitching that they're searching for.
Yeah, is that, if I'm a fan of Colorado and I come to the ballpark and watch this team play every day, obviously it's a lot of fun. They're going to score 7-8 runs. They're, top three in basically every category there of hitting. It's like you said, they were pretty good at fielding, and their ERAs in the lower fifth of the league. I guess it's every time you hear somebody talk about the Rockies, it's like, oh, you can't, you can't win games in Colorado because the ball flies. Well, is that what everybody that's around that team going to keep saying, or is it going to ultimately come down to, great teams always start with a couple of things: great defense, great pitching, and a great bullpen. Is that what it's just basically come down to in Colorado?
Well, the thing is the Rockies, particularly manager Walt Weiss, they get a little prickly when you talk about, Coors Field and everything. They privately, I think they just shake their heads and a little bit of a woe is me, because it's a very difficult solution to find here. But the fact of the matter is the Rockies, when they have won, and the last time they went to the playoffs was 2009, and of course they went to the World Series with that crazy run in 2007. Mm-hmm. The key ingredients is exactly what you said. There was terrific defense. 2007, they probably had the best defense in baseball. In both of those playoff years, they had a good closer, particularly in 2009 when they had Houston streak, and they had a bullpen that an ERA, mid to low fours, which isn't fantastic, but given Coors Field, it was good enough. It was better than the teams coming in. The problem now is trying to get starting pitching. Doesn't have to be starters who have a 3 ERA or below, but pitchers who can compete, can get them in to the sixth inning and not overtax the bullpen. That's been the struggle. And trying to find those kind of guys who don't mind having a 4.6 ERA, but knowing they can still win, that's a difficult chore, because a lot of pitchers don't have that mentality. And the truth of the matter is, guys, playing at Coors Field where the games are long, the scores are high, the weather's hot, the altitude is a factor, it wears teams out. And it particularly wears pitchers out. You ask any player who played any length of time for the Rockies, and they will tell you that they felt so much more exhausted playing a season in Colorado than they did anywhere else during their career.
I know tonight's probably going to be a pretty tough ticket with the return of Troy Tulowitzki. I imagine it's going to be nothing but applause for him, because it was obviously not his choice to depart there last year, and he was kind of blindsided by the whole thing. What are you expecting tonight as Troy Tulowitzki returns to Denver?
It's not going to be as quite cut and dried as that.
Okay.
I wonder, I think it would be really cool if the majority of the fans on their own started the now familiar Tulo chant, which started in Colorado. I don't think that's going to happen, because I don't think the Rockies are going to pipe the music through the PA system to get the fans started. But I would guess probably 2/3 of the fans will give him a nice cheer, perhaps even a standing ovation. But there's going to be some boos too, because Tulo, even when he was here, was something of a controversial guy. He wasn't beloved by everybody, and he's certainly not a cuddly figure. He certainly wasn't Todd Helton, or he's certainly not Nolan Arenado. And there are a lot of people who simply didn't like Tulo very much. And I'm talking about the fans, and I'm talking about people within the organization itself. So I'm really, really curious to see what the reaction is going to be at Coors tonight.
Yeah, you obviously spent a lot of time around Tulowitzki, and we've been on this show trying to figure out, you know, he's came to Toronto and not had the most success at the plate. And, you know, everybody's sort of been scratching their head a little bit on why that would be. You've been around him longer than we have. You've seen him in Colorado. Does his struggles away from Colorado surprise you?
Yeah, it does, because I do not think Troy Tulowitzki was a Coors Field product. I think he's too good a baseball player to have that happen. I think the injuries, of course, and he just came off the DL, I think 3 weeks worth of the DL with you guys, have really started to take their toll on him. Tula's a complex guy. He's incredibly intense. And when he presses, which I think he probably did in his first stint last season in Toronto, and maybe even this year, he doesn't hit very well. But then you give him time and you watch, and he'll catch fire and he'll get on a roll like you won't believe.
Yeah.
And it would not shock me to see that if he's indeed finally healthy. It would not shock me to see him get on that kind of roll in Toronto, because we know that the ballpark up there, you can hit home runs there too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wouldn't give up on him yet. Yeah, he's 31 now. He's not in his prime any longer. But it wouldn't shock me for Tulo to go on a rampage where he hits 10 home runs in a month, 12 home runs in a month, and hits above 400. He still has it in him.
Yeah, he seems to be coming on strong right now, actually, and the previous 11 games before he was on the DL as well. Talking to Patrick Saunders, Rockies beat writer for the Denver Post. I'm sure Blue Jays fans are interested in knowing what the plan is with Jeff Hoffman, the key figure in that Tulowitzki deal. He's not in the rotation as of yet. Is there plans to see Hoffman at some point in Denver this season?
You know, that's the million-dollar question around here. Fans probably ask me that once a day, seriously. When's Hoffman coming up? When's Hoffman coming up? He's in AAA Albuquerque right now. He started off the season incredibly well at AAA. He's had a few rough outings lately. My personal opinion is that I think he's ready. But the Rockies are really, really cautious about promoting their pitchers, and particularly with Hoffman, since he's not that far removed from that Tommy John surgery. But everything I've seen tells me that he's ready to make his debut and contribute to the Rockies' rotation. But Jeff Bridges, the Rockies' GM, has been very played it very close to the vest about if and when Hoffman will come up. But my thinking is, in this day and age, and the guy's already had Tommy John surgery, do you really want to be wasting all your bullets with a guy at AAA when the big league club desperately needs help?
Yeah.
And let him learn a little bit. Let him suffer some bumps up at the big league level. But the Rockies obviously don't see it the same way I do.
Before we let you go, Patrick, so the Blue Jays get to see John Gray today, Eddie Butler tomorrow, Tyler Anderson to wrap up the series. And these are all first-round picks. Anderson in 11, Butler in 12, and John Gray in 2013. What should Blue Jays fans expect to see on the mound for the opposition, and what is the upside for all three of these guys?
Well, John Gray is the most talented of the three. He was the third overall pick. He can throw a 95 to 98-mile-an-hour fastball, really good slider, developing changeup. Problem with John was he left his last start against the Yankees in New York with shoulder fatigue. He is going to make his start again, but he didn't pitch well that day. He says he's okay now. There's no pain. There's no structural damage. But tonight is going to be a big test to see if he has so-called dead arm and if maybe he's going to have to sit out a couple starts. But he's a pitcher with a bright future. Eddie Butler, the guy who pitched Tuesday night, has been a huge disappointment. He's got a good stuff. He's got a good sinker, which is why the Rockies drafted him so high. But he just doesn't have the consistency. Some people say he doesn't have the mental toughness it takes, because his ERA is 6-something, and at Coors Field it's really high. And then Tyler Anderson, who's finally made his debut this year, I think he's had 3 starts, reminds me a lot of former
Canadian, well, current Canadian, the former Rocky Jeff Francis, lefty, moves the ball in and out, changes speeds, pitches very smart, can get ground balls when he has to, can get strikeouts when he has to. I think Anderson is the kind of pitcher the Rockies need. Somebody who's kind of crafty and knows how to work out a jam. So I think his future is pretty bright. Eddie Butler's the one I think the Rockies are really concerned about.
Well, either way, it should be a whole lot of fun for a couple of teams who don't see each other all that often. And the Blue Jays, just, I think, their second trip ever to Coors Field, should be fun tonight. Patrick, thanks for this.
Thanks, guys. I had fun talking to you.